You're listening to the public feed of Carefree Highway Revisited, which includes only a portion of this conversation. To hear the complete discussion, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or see the show notes for details.
The first guest of the evening is truly a poet. He's an artist. He is a friend and an inspiration to anyone who I think who has ever played the guitar or tried to write poetry. Would you please welcome Gordon Lightfoot?
Looking at the rain, feeling the pain of love lost running through my brain. This is Carefree Highway Revisited, the show that celebrates Gordon Lightfoot's music song by song, a proud member of the That's Not Canon podcast network. I'm your host, Mike Messner, and with me today is a fellow Lightfoot fan making his second appearance on the show from Hornby Island, British Columbia, John McLaughlin. John, welcome back to Carefree Highway Revisited.
Oh, thanks, Mike. It's great to be here.
Now, you were on what was almost our premiere show, and you and I talked about Canadian Railroad Trilogy, and that was a really informative episode that we had on a very historical song. And today we're going to be looking at Looking at the Rain, which is from the Don Quixote album of 1972. Now, why did you in particular want to talk about this one this week?
Well, it's off of my favorite album of them all. I mean, there's many, but this one I particularly love. And it came out when I was only about 12 years old. The song itself has taken new meaning as time has gone by. And it's a couple of times in my life, it has had a very interesting impact on me. And I could relate to it a lot, which I think probably many people can.
Yeah. The images that it brings up are of not only the weather, which of course everyone has been through, but the heartbreak that virtually everyone has ever been through. It's just beautifully evocative. I mean, a rainy street on a late fall day, and street, which kind of implies that it's in at least a suburban area, if not an urban area, and then missing someone or pining from someone. Someone online said that it was like being obsessed with someone. We'll talk about that possibility a little later on. You said that you can relate to it. Is there an anecdote or a particular episode in your life that really conjures up this song?
Well, there's two actually, and they're rather personal, but one was when I found out that somebody that I was in love with and very interested in suddenly met someone else and was getting married. And I can still remember, it was actually a rainy day. I was at work. I worked in a bookstore. I was young, and there was nobody in that morning. It was a dead Monday morning in this bookstore, and the wind was blowing like crazy outside, and this song just came to me. And then the other time was actually, and this is, I've talked to somebody else who had the same experience, but there's not all of the song, but there are aspects of it that are very much like when somebody dies as well. And my best friend died in a plane crash when he was just 28. And there's some similarities in there for this. So it's interesting when you look at it, even from that standpoint, and the rumination that you go through musically, which we'll talk about maybe a little later, is it just rolls around, and it is really like ruminating. You know, you can't get it out of your mind. And this person that you want is not there, and you can't get rid of the thought.
Yeah, it is almost a obsessive, vicious cycle. I mean, you can't get the train of thought out of your head, and you're looking at something and everything reminds you that you're in this miserable funk. I think we've all gone through that at some point, whether it's the loss of someone that potentially was a mate or the death of someone, things like that. Is there a particular time of day or a setting that you would choose, hey, this is perfect for me to listen to Looking at the Rain?
Sure. Interesting, we're recording this in the middle of November, but it would be November, the leaves rolling around a bit. And yeah, I mean, a dimming part of the day on a Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock when the light starting to go and it's gray and dark outside. Like that's rather depressing, but that's when I think of it.
You know, it's almost identical for me. I think of my teenage years. I lived in London for 6 months when I was in high school. And although I don't recall going through a whole lot of heartbreak, I can just see all of the images, the trees, the wind, the rain, the picture, all of these things. And I was a little homesick, but that's a slightly different feeling from what we're talking about here. And in November, where it tends to be kind of getting cold in England. And actually, I was in England when there was actually a hurricane that ripped through the south of England and destroyed Kew Gardens. So I've seen that happen more or less in spades. I also think of Sunday afternoons in particular, where you've had the weekend and now you're realizing you're going back to school, you're going back to a job that you may think is okay, but you're not really, you know, ready to do this. You don't really want to go back and face the world for whatever reason. So when this was written, Lightfoot was going through the end of his marriage with his first wife, Britta. And I think he has gone on record saying that he really kind of wishes he was able to make it work. And it seems like he has some regrets about not being able to make the marriage work. He misses her, even though he knows that the marriage is irrevocably broken. The marriage is over. If they haven't formally gone through the divorce proceedings, they might as well have. Is there anything you can add to that? Any angle that you have on what was going on with Lightfoot when he wrote this?
I don't have anything more than that, except I've got the book of his lead sheets from this album. It's interesting to look at the copyright dates in it, because of all the songs off of Don Quixote, the dates on all of them is copyright 1972. This one is 1969, which
okay.
is kind of interesting. So, but I think that's about when this was all starting to happen. I can't remember the exact dates, but anyway, it's just kind of interesting that it's a couple of years earlier than the other songs on the album.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, they got married in either 63 or 64, and the marriage lasted 10 years. So maybe even as early as this, he saw that the relationship was beginning to fall apart. But it's interesting that it's 69 when he wrote this, and they don't get divorced until 73. So he's still married, but he's realizing that there's probably some cracks in the relationship that maybe can't be fixed. So let's look at the lyrics a little bit. Looking at the rain, feeling the pain of love lost running through my brain. So he's identifying, as you said earlier, John, this fact that he can't think of anybody or anything except this woman that he's fallen for and that he's lost or is losing. And of course, rain is a melancholy thing in most contexts, and it certainly is here. I don't know in any other way that you could portray the rain as being anything other than melancholy.
No, for sure. And I mean, it's interesting that he uses that word, because he uses rain a lot in his songs. He uses it often in the first verse of a few songs, Early Morning Rain, of course. But this one, it's definitely a poetic word to use, that's for sure. But
Rainy Day People was the other one that I thought of, although that's a much more optimistic song than this one. Looking at the wind, watching it spin, the leaves along the street, you win. Well, that's the only way you can really see the wind, is when it's blowing something, leaves or trees or branches or objects. But then he ends that line by saying, you win. And that implies that if you win, she wins, he loses. And I'm wondering, is the message here that she wanted out and she's gotten what she wanted? Why do you think he used that at that end of the line?
That's how I read it. We've had that feeling. Like, you feel like you're being left behind. You basically, they're gone off with somebody else or into a new life, and you're still stuck on this same old thing. You're stuck in a rut. You're stuck here. You've lost them, and you've lost your own sense of purpose.
Purpose, or maybe your identity.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's a kind of an interesting commentary that we do lose so much of ourselves when we're in love. And I think it's just a hint of bitterness. This is not a bitter song in the same way that I'm Not Supposed to Care is not a bitter song, that other songs that he've done, they're about love lost. Dreamland is another one that comes to mind, which we did earlier this season. But, you know, you win. And I think he just allows himself just a little bit of bitterness. And then he goes on with the brooding, or however you want to say it. Waiting for a line to fall, telling you it's all a big mistake. The only thing I could think of in terms of for a line to fall is in the context of songwriting. He's waiting for the inspiration. You know, this is how I want to express myself, and I'm looking for exactly the right phrase, the right sentence. Because he does say a little later on, but the words won't come. When he's talking about line, is he talking about songwriting? Is he talking about a telephone line? What do you think he means?
Well, I've always read that one myself as being the old term, drop a line. When I was thinking about the words for this, I looked up that expression. And in fact, it first shows up in English in 1647. Oh. And it's basically dropped like a single line or just something very briefly to say, I'm okay, or, you know, whatever it could be. I still love you. You know, that could be the line that's being used. You know, you kind of just wish the phone is going to ring and someone's going to say, it's okay, everything's fine. That's how I've taken it.
Yeah, we're going to come back to that idea of, are things really okay? All I want is just to know that you're all right. And then it's all a big mistake. And it sounds like he's saying the mistake is hers as much as it is his. She's made a mistake in abandoning the relationship. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's probably a mutual thing there. Like maybe they've had a fight and it's just the whole thing's a mistake. Like that's how I've taken it. Not that the relationship was a mistake, but that maybe there's just been a misunderstanding and it's separated them.
Looking at a face so out of place inside that picture frame of lace, he's still got a picture of her on the wall or on his piano or something like that. To me, you talked about ruminating. I mean, this is really torturing yourself. If you've got this person's face and you're looking at it and you know every time you look at it, you're going to feel worse. The tendency would be, I would think, okay, I'm going to take this off the wall. I'm going to put it face down. I'm going to put it in a drawer or someplace. I'm just going to get rid of it. But he's not doing that. And that goes along with, he can't even conjure up the energy or the wherewithal to move the picture out of the way.
And I've been there, done that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, as have I. For me, it was just a case of, okay, I'm just going to turn the picture over and not think about it. It didn't solve the problem, but at least it made me feel a little better.
Well, that's all the time we have for Here in the Public Feed. If you'd like to hear the rest of this conversation, along with all of our other extended and bonus episodes, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or at fmpods.com. You can see the show notes for details.